Welcome to Youth Speaks Out, a show by, for, and about young people. For the past 6 years, it has aired on the last Sunday of each month from 2 to 3 p.m. Due to major scheduling changes taking place September 20th at KZYX, Youth Speaks Out will now be incorporated into Dan Roberts' music show, Rhythm Running River, from 3 to 4 p.m. on the first Sunday of each month. Therefore, there will not be Youth Speaks Out in September. Youth Speaks Out is hosted by young people in Mendocino County who want to create a place where young people can talk truthfully about important issues in our lives and have a dialogue with the community of listeners. Today's hosts are me, Mitzi, and...
Kane Holsey.
Royal Barton.
Natalie Grossman.
Dana and Terrell.
Eric Roberts.
We all attend, well, it's high school or Laneyville High School. Today our topic is cheating and plagiarism. Who does it and why, or why not? Cheating in school has become a national epidemic. It's happening in schools across the country, in elementary schools, middle schools, high schools, and even colleges. The statistics are shocking. 80% of high school students admit to having cheated. 67% say they have copied homework. 98% say they have let others copy their work. 95% of those who cheated avoid getting caught. 34% said their parents never talked to them about cheating. A Duke University study shows that 75% of students admit to cheating. 90% of their students admit to copying someone's paper. Students in high schools are expected to get into good colleges and have good grade point averages. One student is quoted as saying, "There's so much pressure to get a good job, and to get a good job, you have to get into a good school, and to get into a good school, you have to get good grades, and to get good grades, you have to cheat." In talking to older people, we have found that cheating has always existed among a few students, but most are astounded by these recent surveys. Cheating in the classroom has several forms: looking at someone else's paper, carrying a cheat sheet of facts or formulas, or getting the questions to a test in advance of the test. We'll discuss more innovative methods later. Some students report on books by watching a new movie version of a novel or getting Cliff Notes or classics illustrated comic books. After consuming the shorter version, the student can then write their paper. Plagiarism may be defined as taking someone else's work or ideas and passing them off as one's own. One of the features of the internet is that it is an instant source of term papers and book reports. Students can go on a computer and download research papers from cheaters.com, schoolsucks.com, and schoolpapers.com. Some of these sites charge $30 per month to have access to thousands of term papers. To combat this, some schools use a scanning device to fight plagiarism called turnitin.com. They find that plagiarism occurs at about a 30% rate. Again, the student that does their own work, writes his or her own research paper, and produces a less quality product is less respected by teachers. Our research found that one site offered 3 pre-written papers on the novel Ivanhoe for $56.95 to $178.95. Or you could choose a custom written paper for $17.95 per page for 3-day delivery, or $24.95 per page for 1-day delivery. These prices seem out of the question for most high school students unless they are wealthy. Given the cost of attending college and buying textbooks, the huge market for those papers is more understandable. Why do high school students cheat? 80% of high school students share the belief that college is the door to a successful career, and they may believe as well that the better the college, the better the chances of success later on. Only about 50% of the students in high school today will actually go on to college, but about 80% of middle school and high school students say they attend to go to college. While there are many ways to define success, and not all of them go through college, it's easier to see that later in life than it is a teenager. It shouldn't be surprising that so many students don't travel the higher road. The media is filled with movie stars and athletes that don't follow rules and don't seem to suffer many consequences. Politicians are caught with illegal funds and they merely return the money. Many people are involved in the illegal drug market to supplement their income. There seems to be an attitude that is okay unless I get caught. And if I get caught, it isn't a big deal. Students are not that different than our adult society. Sorry. Grades rather than education have become the major focus of many students. And many students experience high anxiety during tests, leaving them with grades that do not accurately reflect their knowledge. Maybe the question we need to ask is there a way to recognize that the educational process is successful without creating a system that encourages dishonesty? We are now going to discuss our topic, cheating and plagiarism. Who does it, and why, or why not? For about 20 or 30 minutes. My God. Then we will open the phone line for their questions, comments, and insights. The purpose of the show is to engage the community in listening to young people speak out about what is happening in our lives. We believe that your input is equally important in creating connections between the youth and adult population. We are in the Willett studio, and our phone number will be 707-456-9991. So, Kane, do you think that there is a lot of cheating in high school?
I believe there's an astounding amount. I mean, every few days I'll see at least one person be cheating on something. Like, I saw someone, we had this little tiny quiz that wasn't even that hard, and they pulled a paper and put it under the table and copied it. So I think there's plenty.
Yeah, there's a lot of really sneaky ways to cheat. A lot of the more popular ones are getting like a label on a water bottle and just writing the answers on the back of it and then just putting it back on with like glue or something. That way you can look through it and see, or just writing it on your arm and wearing long sleeves so you can just pull back your sleeve during the test and there's your answers.
Do you guys think that by helping your friends finish their homework or working as a group, is that considered cheating, or is that just working together?
I personally view that as more just working together. When you're working with a person on a project, you're both putting in information and getting information out of it. It's more of like giving them the materials to work on it as opposed to just giving them the answers. You're giving them something to think about, and they're going to think about that. They're going to have to make up an answer of their own. Whereas if they're cheating, then they're just taking the answers that you give them and putting them down. It's just how well they're able to memorize the answers or copy them down.
What about the cheating policy in Willett's High? Is that, what do the teachers do about it?
Generally, they just take your test and they'll give you an F, or you'll have to come back and do it later around, like, lunch or after school. You'll have to do it on your own time. But, like, generally nobody gets caught because it's pretty easy to cheat. You can just take your cell phone, you can put it by your pants, you know, and just text people for the answers. It's really not that hard of a thing, so you don't normally get caught.
It's not really that strict either. You can do it anytime and anywhere, and if you do get caught, it's not a zero tolerance policy. So it's not really discouraged. I mean, it's discouraged, but you can just keep doing it, and
there's no consequences.
Yeah, exactly.
No huge punishment.
Is it really hurting other people when you're cheating, or is it just, I think it's just really hurting yourself because you're cheating yourself out of learning the actual material? Or, I mean, if you learn it but you don't remember it, it's not really any use.
Yeah, it's not really for your own benefit. I mean, you're there to learn, and if you do cheat, then what are you learning, you know?
Well, I feel it hurts others, too, because you're taking their own knowledge, and then you're saying you're using it, like you're taking it for your own credit. It's not what you did, but then you're saying it basically is without even doing any work whatsoever.
Yeah, plus if, say, it's a really important test that, like, could decide whether you get a scholarship or not, and you work incredibly hard to get a really good grade on this because you want this scholarship so bad, and somebody else who quite frankly doesn't care as much but they still want a scholarship, they just don't want to put the work in, they're just going to say cheat or something, and there's only a limited amount of space. Well, say you got 1 point under them, yet they were the last person to be accepted because there wasn't enough room for everyone. Now you've got a situation where you've been hurt by somebody else's cheating. So not only have they taken information that wasn't theirs, but they've also taken you out of an ability to get the scholarship you wanted or go to the college you wanted or get the job you wanted. While as if they had just done it themselves, if they had, woohoo, good for them, that would have been legit. But by doing this and cheating, you've lost out through somebody's other ill-gotten ways of their ill-gotten means. It's immoral.
Yeah, it's ruining somebody else's life for the benefit of yours.
Yep.
Why do you guys think students cheat?
Because some people just don't like to put the time in, and quite frankly, maybe they're just not as intelligent as somebody else as they feel that way, so they feel if they take the smartest person in the class and they use them as like a booster they can pass to and make themselves feel better about themselves.
There's also pressure from parents and teachers, like you'll get held back or you have to go to summer school, and if you don't get that good grade, you get something taken away, and you get a consequence from an adult.
Yeah, also, some people do it out of being desperate. Like, say they've got a really busy schedule, yet they're also a really good student. They just don't have the time. They don't usually cheat, but they can't find any other way of getting this grade, and it's incredibly important to them. Say there's going to be some sort of consequence, like, what if they had, like, a bad home life or something like that? They could come home and there would be consequences that are just unfathomable. Like, they could get beat or something like that. It would just be terrible. If that is the case, then, I mean, what are you really supposed to do? Hey, sorry, you're going to go home. Either you can put in the effort and do all these other activities and be, like, superhuman, or you can cheat and not get beaten. Sort of thing. I mean, what are you going to do in that situation?
What about if you take a test before your friend and you remember some of the hard questions on it and you tell them later what questions that they would probably have trouble on? Is that actually cheating? Or, I mean, I don't really think that's wrong. You're just trying to help them out, and as long as, I mean, they're, I don't know. What do you guys think about that?
That's not cheating whatsoever.
And I don't believe it. Cheating is more of like a large portion of it, but two questions, it's not that.
Yeah, it's too mild of a case of cheating to have very much of a difference on anything. Maybe it's cheating, but it's not horrible, and like I can't view that as bad at all, because you're just giving friendly advice, like, hey, be careful, because there's a couple questions on there that might confuse you. You might want to look into studying a bit harder on that real quick before you go into the class than, say, the things that you already know, like, everything about. There's going to be a couple of trick questions on it.
Well, what's interesting is an ideal of school is that, you know, they try to teach you that teamwork is an important aspect of life. And cheating seems to be a kind of way of using that kind of teamwork. But, you know, the idea of cheating... the idea of restricting cheating and not allowing it is to make people more independent in their own learning. So to restrict cheating is, in fact, a way to, almost like limit something that they're trying to teach you, and almost something that's instinctual to people to work together. So there's some situations, obviously, where cheating is completely wrong, like as said earlier, where if someone, you know, misses out on a scholarship for such a reason as that. That's a situation where cheating is definitely, helps someone else out when they really don't deserve it. However, there's other situations where cheating can really help people achieve in life, because it's an idea of where people help, they build each other up and help each other succeed in life, which is, you know, definitely something that is taught in school to kids, that, you know, they need to work together.
Yeah, like, not always. Say if you were to help somebody, it would be cheating, for the fact that if, like he was saying before, if you tell somebody there's hard questions on a test, it's just fair warning them that there's going to be something a little more hard to let you know. It's not like you're giving them exactly what they need to know or need the answer for. It's just like in life, you're not working by yourself all the time. When most jobs, you are working with somebody else, and they're going to help you out. If you screw up on something, somebody's normally going to have your back. It's not you by yourself.
Yeah, usually, say, in the work situation, you're going to have somebody, say, the CEO of a big company, and they're just going to slap a piece of work on the table and for, like, you and eight other people to do. They don't really particularly care how it gets back to them. They just want the outcome. They want the all the good from it, and they're going to have you do the hard work because they probably worked hard to get there. And if they didn't, well, bully on them.
Yeah, well, technically you could take anything as cheating, too, for the fact that the first person, as an example, that created the computer, in that sense, somebody who took it off of them and started making it better, like Apple or iMac, how they change things all the time to compete, they're taking somebody else's idea and trying to make it better. There's nothing that's just your own that's completely original.
Yeah, doing that is just, it's pretty much just they did something and now they're saying, okay, well, now you guys go have fun and see what you can do to make other people's lives better with this idea. It's not, if they're going to, like, put it out to be, like, sold or something, how do you think that they would sell as much, like, one company would sell as much if they didn't have competition?
No,
people
no.
would not favor them as much.
Exactly. If you were just by yourself and there was nothing else, then you would have nothing to compete against and nothing would get better.
Yeah, you'd still have the same ideas and whatnot, and you'd be stuck in a rut. It's like with schooling, if a teacher is teaching you something, then they're pretty much just giving you all the life experiences that they've had throughout the years and saying, here is all this information. Now you've got a basic understanding how the world works. Go out and make something with your life to go better humanity so that your children, your grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren will have a better place to live.
I think that cheating and or mostly cheating has gotten bigger over the years. Like when you go in to take your SATs or something, you have to have photo ID unless the person administering it like knows you personally, because like people had been hiring people to take the test for them. Like, do you guys think that that's even necessary? Or, I mean, I think it's necessary, but
I believe that that's necessary, obviously, because cheating now is I believe it's more of an issue now than it used to be before, and the reason for that isn't exactly because our generation is exactly worse or better than any others or anything like that. I think it's more a result of modern ideal, and the way that society treats certain things. Obviously, in the 50s or in previous times before, after the time of the Great Depression, say, people would probably think have more of a mindset that they didn't want to do anything that would make, I guess, history repeat itself. However, now our generation is in a situation where we more are worried, or not worried, less worried that things are going to happen, because we're more in a state where, we've been, I guess the greatest country in the world, as known by ourselves for a long time now. And we don't really worry about how cheating is going to affect us. So we just kind of do it and everything's just kind of relaxed. And, it's just a product of your own time. And, everyone's just pretty much relaxed now and it's not really a concern.
Yeah, like, nowadays, it's so much easier to be able to cheat on things for the fact that we're more apt. We're not, like, a worse, like, state of kids. Like, we're not horrible. It's just we have the ability, and it's way easier now. And like Eric said before, it is true. Like, we are self-entitled to ourselves. We're more cocky that we don't need to be as smart or as, like, better than the next person because we're already on top.
Yeah, we've effectively, despite the fact that we're quote-unquote on top, we're still, like, economically, how much debt are we in sort of thing. It's because we've, like, cut corners with stuff. It's because we're giving our money, say, our tax dollars and whatnot to people, and God only knows what they're going to do with it, but we're expecting them to do the right thing. Well, how should we know that these are going to be the people who are honest? How do we know that they're not just swindling it away on useless things, things that our country doesn't need, things that we have too much of, things that we need more of, that just isn't happening?
Yeah, like for the fact that, like you're saying, is we are shortchanging ourselves, because if we're the ones cutting corners too to try to save ourselves money and, like, say on tax returns and things, how do we know when we're giving it to somebody else they're not doing the same exact thing?
Why do you guys think students feel the need to cheat?
To be better than the next person.
They just don't believe in themselves, probably.
There's a very high pressure, obviously, in today's society to succeed. There's a lot of things going around about how important it is to get into colleges. That's a huge concern, actually, for cheating. And, you know, this. What was your question again? I'm sorry.
Why students feel the need to cheat?
People really want to get into college, so it's obviously very competitive. And, you know, if there's a shortcut, why wouldn't you take it? If you couldn't get caught doing it, you know, I mean, sure, it's on your conscience, but, you know, as long as you succeed in life and you get what society tells you you need, then you should be happy according to what, you know, I guess society says.
Yeah, it's becoming more like animalistic in the fact that we're not really being humane towards others. Like, if we cheat out other people, how are we really helping ourselves? Because it's not you that can just better yourself. Somebody else can always help you.
Yeah, part of what makes us human is our ability to be honest with ourselves, is our ability to, if we need something, then we can use our brain and our powers of to invent things, our brain power. We can just go create something or find a way that will allow us to get something better, as opposed to, say, stealing it from others, which is, whether you like to admit it or not, another form of cheating. You want something, so instead of going and working for it and getting it yourself, you're just going to take the shortcut around it and take it from someone else. And it's their own hard work that they put into. They worked really hard to get that object or that item or that thing or what they need or what they want. So why should you get it if you did not do that work? Why would you get to take the shortcut? What makes you so special, Art? I mean, these people are out here working day and night trying to afford comfort and luxury and whatnot, and some jerk comes along that decides, oh, hey, well, I want that, but I don't feel like putting in the time and effort, so I'm just going to take it from you.
Yeah, like, not in all states, but in some states of, like, people who don't work but have a house that just take welfare, where they illegally sell dope, which happens a lot in our community, and it's easy to do. They could just sit there, take the extra welfare money, and do nothing and benefit themselves and hurt others that actually deserve to have welfare that really can't just provide for their family because it's hard.
Earlier, I read a quote from a student who said that in order to get good grades, you have to cheat, which I completely disagree with, because in order to get good grades, you just need to try hard. I mean, you don't even have to be smart in order to get good grades. As long as you put the effort in, you will get the good grades.
Just for the sake of being devil's advocate, what happens if their schedule is too busy? Like, their parents will force them to do certain things, else they say they should come from an abusive environment or something. If they don't do these certain things, that their parents will become furious or something, and like in some sort of spaz attack, drunken rage or something like that, will lash out at the kid, or they will bring harm to them in some emotional, physical, mental way. What happens if their schedule is too full for them to be able to put in the effort and the work?
Then the school should, like, they should go talk to the school, and the school should understand and be able to help them more than just tell them, well, this is what you need to do. Because a lot of the time, homework, for instance, is really hard for a lot of different people, because I know personally, I'm going through things in my life and not everything's always easy, you know, and I have sports on top of my schoolwork, and then I also help out with the school because I'm in leadership. There's like a bunch of different things people have to do all the time, and sometimes people lose sight of what's really important and just try to teach you things even when you don't personally need them.
Yeah, I actually agree with Dana on that. it's there's definitely a lot of things that interfere with school, and one of those being is, you kind of have to have your own time to be a kid, you know. I mean, everyone wants to, you know, be able to enjoy their life, because it's not just completely about, you know, succeeding in life. You want to be able to actually enjoy your own childhood. And, you know, for some people, like, if you're just taking so many hard classes and, you know, but, you know, you still want to have a good time with your own childhood. You can't just be working all your life, all your childhood for, you know, something that's just going to, you know, not really matter, you know, because all that people are going to see is, oh, he's a workaholic. He's just worked all his life. Whereas, you know, some people, you know, you can say, hey, he's doing good in life and he has a good time doing it. You know, you have to be able to also enjoy your life while, you know, doing that. And it seems like, you know, if you're pushed too much and you don't get a chance to do that, cheating is really just a solution to that, you know, because people are, it seems like, you know, like I said earlier, it's just a bit of pressure from society that, you know, a happy life is a successful life, and that includes going to college and succeeding in high school and all the things that go along with that.
What if you are in a situation, though, say your parents or your parent is, like, with someone who is, for instance, abusive or something, and they expect so much from you? Well, you want to go to the school and expect that they have sympathy, but say they've threatened you. Say they've directly threatened your well-being, or that they've said, if you do this, this, or this, then I'm going to make your life hell, sort of thing. What would you do if you were that student that you've got all this going on, because if you don't, then you're going to go through hell, and you have all this to do, because if you don't, then you're going to go through hell. It's like a double-edged dagger. What are you going to do?
Well, you know, for a situation like that, if I were in some kind of a thing where I was threatened, I would definitely, you know, obviously call somebody or something like that. If there was any other way I couldn't do it besides that, there are actually, you know, scholarships, and, you know, people do recognize that that kind of thing happens, so there will be scholarships. But, you know, there's a lot of people who are attached to their family, and they aren't willing to make that phone call, that emergency phone call, to say, my family is abusive. They want to stay with their family. You know, they have some kind of attachment there. And in that case, that would definitely enforce and induce cheating and that sort of thing.
What would you do, though, if, say, you were forced into this environment where there was this thing, but it wasn't so easy as you could just make a phone call? It wasn't so easy as you could just talk to somebody about this to get this off your chest, say you find a solution for this or something. What if it was not that easy? What if they were just as conniving and crafty as you wish you could be? Just as, like, they've thought of all the ways you could get around this, and they've put barriers there to prevent you from doing so. What if they said, say, something like, should I ever go to jail, then I will kill a person every day until I get out. And I know this is, like, ridiculous, I have it, but these things do happen in real life. Whether people notice it or not, these things happen. And most people, they're unaware of it. It could be people, just normal people living their own lives that you wouldn't even notice, because this is all they've ever had. This is all they've ever been through. They've lived with hell their entire life. They've learned to juggle it in with everything. But it's getting to the point where they just can't stand it anymore. What would you do if you were at the point where there was nowhere left to turn to, where you were, like, all on your own, and cheating was, like, all you could do, but you didn't want to because you knew that you would get found out? I mean, what would you do if you were in this tight situation?
I suppose that's just kind of a flaw, then. I mean, you know, that's all you really can do, you know. I mean, if there's literally no way where you can do your work but because of a stressful situation, but yet there's so much, then you have to take a shortcut. You know, obviously cheating is the easiest shortcut. I couldn't think of any more besides, you're going in and changing your grade, but, you mean, that's still, you know, a form of cheating.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's definitely a flaw, I guess, in that sense.
Do you think you should be allowed to use an iPhone or smartphone during a test? And, like, are these electronic devices an extension of our minds?
Personally, it would be an extension, before the fact that if you were to take the notes yourself and you were to put it down on this piece of information, you know, and this electronic thing, and you have your own information there and you use it, it's still what you thought before. It's not that you were cheating per se, it's just that you used what you had before and you brought it back. because not everything can retain within your brain, but the percentage of your brain that uses, like, what, 8% or something like that, you don't get to use it all. It's not that easy to remember it, especially when you get tested in school for tests. You have at least, like, normally 3 to 4 a day out of all your, like, 6 to 7 classes you have. So it's not that easy to remember everything and cram it in the last second. It's easier to be able to extend your mind and put it on something else.
So, well, you think about it, too. The idea of testing is to, you know, obviously test for the things that you're going to need, you know, the ideas and knowledge that you're going to need for real life. Well, you know, it's subjective to that, you know, with computers and, you know, iPhones and that sort of thing, too, because in real life, you know, it's not like you're not going to be able to pull out your iPhone in the middle of public. It's perfectly okay to do that. So, I mean, you know, obviously there's some things where tests where it shouldn't be allowed, where it's something that you should be able to know on your own, and, you know, people wouldn't just use their iPhone for anyway, or whatever device it is that they're using, some kind of encyclopedia or computer. But, it you know, in real life, you can just use, you know, whatever tools you need or, you know, to find the knowledge. And it's never considered cheating in there. But for some reason, you know, like using it on a, using some kind of an aid on a test, you know, it's considered cheating. You know, so there are some teachers, however, that do allow cheat sheets. And, you know, if it's something that's, you know, increasingly difficult to memorize, you know, too many things. But I think that definitely some tools should be allowed on tests and stuff, you know, because people are going to use them anyway, you know, whether you know it or not.
Well, I don't know if being able to use something that can, like, go on the internet should be allowed, because if you're always using it, then you're always going to rely on it, and you probably won't learn the actual stuff and for yourself, and you're not going to remember it if you just look it up every single time.
Yeah, but also, like, you normally don't just rely on yourself, too. Like, I agree with what you're saying, but also for the fact that a lot of people will always be able to turn to something, because most people do own things like that in our society today. We are very intelligent in knowing how to use electricity and, like, electronic things. So it's not like you're not going to always be able to turn to it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. And what about these downloadable term papers? It's got this. It was mentioned in the beginning that there's like 3 different term papers on the book Ivanhoe, and they've ranged from, like, right here it says one is $56.95. One's $178.95. One's $151.95. What would you do if you, like, bought one? What happens if somebody just goes on and buys one, or they got, like, a custom-made one that sounds like it could be in their words or something like that, or they just paid someone to write them a quiz? What would happen if they just downloaded it onto their smartphone and just, like, gave the information to the teacher or something like that and said, yeah, hey, this is my report sort of thing? How would you, like, weave out the people who were actually writing the notes as opposed to the people who just downloaded it?
Well, see, I believe that that's actually completely a bad practice, and that's just because, you know, that is the direct act of plagiarism. You're taking credit for something that somebody else did. It's not like it's just a simple fact. It's something that, you know, was actually written out and somebody spent time and opinions on it. And I believe that it's completely wrong to take credit for someone else's opinions or ideas or something like that. That is just, you know, complete malpractice, I believe.
Yeah, because, like, simply just stealing somebody's idea, like, their whole idea, not just the idea, but everything that they did and put their time into, and then just using it for yourself, it's wrong. Like, there's a difference between doing that and taking what they did and reading it over and finding a way to use it for yourself as, like, an informational tool, not just as using it as, this is mine now, I don't care if they put the work in.
Yeah, my uncle, he's an inventor. And I'm sure you've probably seen, or at least heard of them, or seen them in, like, movies or something, but you know how buses will have, like, gigantic ads on the sides and stuff, and, like, you look at it from the outside and you see an ad, but you look at outside it, or from the inside, and you can see through it. He was helping invent that and whatnot, and he put a ton of work into it, and one guy stole all of the information, and it was like very blatant act of plagiarism. And granted, they had like a big lawsuit and whatnot, but it's just these things that happen every day, like people just stealing others' ideas and like not giving them any credit at all, just like taking it as like, hey, this is mine, like presenting the patent before anyone else can like get to it at all. Say a group had an idea and like one person presented that, it's like, no, sorry, that's my idea. On this legal document, it says my name. How are you going to combat that? And what would happen if somebody did do that? I mean, the entire purpose of, say, somebody putting out an idea, if you get an idea from that that could like improve it, then sure, improve it, make your own like little improved idea, but don't like directly take their product. That's just, that's horrible. Or you could present like that idea to them, like, patent that idea, look, check, go online. There's a bunch of patent sites where you can check if something's been patented before or like thought of before. And if it's not, then just patent that idea and go to a company that, or like the company that gave you the idea or something like that, or go somewhere where they could actually like put this to use and say, hey, yeah, I've got this great idea. What, is there any way you can use this on your product or anything? Or if so, how much will you pay me for this? Or just like make your job out of that. Don't steal their work. Just work with them.
Yeah, exactly. I see the two bad, you know, there's two, you know, very bad kinds of, you know, cheating and plagiarism. I mean, you can have your own ideas about what kind of cheating is bad or if all cheating is bad. But I believe the worst kinds would probably include, you know, if you're cheating, if it's some kind of a competition and you have, and you're knocking somebody else who actually deserved it out of the place, or if it's plagiarism and you just completely, take their idea and you benefit from what they did. I believe that those two are the probably the worst kinds in the of cheating and plagiarism.
Yeah, that's basically a horrible thing to do, is cheat somebody out of something they really deserve.
We're going to open the phone lines now. The phone number is 456-9991. Everyone is welcome to call, and we'd especially like to encourage the youth, their parents, and concerned friends in the listening audience. Please call in if you have any questions or insights about cheating, plagiarism, or a system of testing. Are you surprised by the statistics we presented about cheating in the classroom? Do you think that this is a bigger problem now that it was in than it was in the past? Do you think schools should enforce a zero-tolerance policy about cheating? Should teachers look away if they see someone cheating? Did you cheat when you were in school? How and why did you cheat? Were you successful at it? How do you feel about other students cheating? Would you report cheating if you saw it? If you're in school or have children there, do you think that there's too much pressure in to get high grades? Do you or your children ever experience serious anxiety over writing papers or taking tests? Are there better ways than grades to tell if a student has been successfully educated? Have you or your children ever attended a school that does not give out grades in the way that the public schools do? Is this advantageous? Do schools overemphasize testing? Do you think that our society has accepted the idea that you should get away with whatever you can? Please speak with us in the listening community about cheating and plagiarism. We all need to hear each other's experiences and ideas about these subjects. The phone number is 456-9991. When you call, please be ready to turn down your radio or we'll get a very confusing echo. The number is 456-9991. Please call in and be part of this discussion. We'd really like to hear from you. Your input is what community radio is all about. Where else can you have a public conversation with the youth in our county? Please call in.
Caller, you're on the air.
Great show. Well, let's see. When I was going to school, I went to a strict Catholic school and never thought about cheating. But then I became a teacher, and I was an elementary school teacher, but then ended up teaching high school and middle school. And I learned that it's the relationship that you create with your students. That's personal, right? So, for example, I didn't want my students to cheat because I wanted to teach them to trust themselves. I mean, if you can't trust yourself, then you're going to go through life looking over to the left and to the right or behind you or in front of you to see what somebody else is doing. Their answers may be wrong. You may be right. You have to learn to trust yourself. Also, a teacher should create a balanced environment where you can help your students. You know, some tests, maybe a few, where they would have to memorize or whatever because you have to be accountable or, you know, do formal assessment. But then you can provide your students a way of showing what they know through projects and interesting things like that so that the student can see that the teacher's trying to work with them. So then you establish a good relationship and they can relax. Because I've had a lot of students at the beginning of the year, they come in thinking that they have to cheat. And that's the only rule I ever had was no cheating because I want them to be comfortable with me. I want them to trust me, and I want them to learn to trust themselves because that's a life lesson. Also, if they cheat, for example, after I've tried to create this type of environment, that's a violation of us as a democratic classroom. So you're not only violating yourself and the relationship you have with your teacher. I think I just said it. Yeah, you violate the whole entire classroom. You know, you made an agreement. Look, we're not going to have formal tests every time, but this one time we are. So please, you know, don't look at your neighbor. And so hopefully they'll say, well, gosh, you know, this is just the one time, so I can do it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
She had a point, like, if you feel like you're having to cheat, then it's probably because you don't trust yourself to know the stuff.
So it's a question of independence.
Caller, you're on there.
Yeah, I think it's important to address why we have tests in the first place. Primarily, as the one young lady mentioned, you know, it's to make you do your homework, it's to make you study, to learn things, you know. As far as the issue of using technology to look things up, why would anyone learn to spell? Well, it's faster than looking it up if you've actually memorized it. There's things that you ought to memorize that make you better at doing things that technology really can't substitute for you with the speed that you need. And when you take the subject of cheating in general, why do we care if anyone cheats? Well, as a society, we all, humans, have always cheated. Humans are no better at cheating now than they ever were. The tools just change. You can read Socrates. You can, you know, people were cheating all the time. But if a society wants to get along where people aren't busy killing each other all the time, you have to have some sort of concept of equity or steps that you follow to accomplish something. Whenever people cheat on that, other people start looking around, well, maybe if I just killed that guy, you know, then I wouldn't have to compete with him. So as a society, you have to come up with ways that you regulate the behavior of people so that expectations of how to interact allow you to have a constructive society. Cheating, although there always will be cheating, and there always has been cheating, needs to be kept down to a dull roar, or people lose that ability to say, all right, here's what I need to do to advance within this society. When people don't think there's some sort of relatively straightforward avenue to advance within a society, they tend to start wanting to tear down the society. And you'll see that in wars constantly all around the world, where people, because of your religion, because of your ethnicity, because of whatever it is. So there has to be some sort of way that through achievement, you can get to a space in your society that will allow you to have a reasonable life. If you get away from that, you will find out that you wind up with societies in turmoil. It's really the basis for why we try and keep cheating down to a dull roar. Thinking that it's okay to give someone else the answers that are a test that you took earlier, for example, you seem to think it was just fine for you to cheat if, you know, you're going to get beat when you go home, but you may be causing somebody else to get beat because you got an inflated score because of your cheating or helping your friend cheat. So the very things you're trying to avoid, you may be causing for someone else. And although it's normal to look at things from sort of an egocentric view, the reality is all those things you do flip over and can be doing the same thing to someone else. So in order to keep our societies functioning, we have to have some sort of an expectation that there are reasonable avenues to live our lives and where things are fair. For example, you never want the person that cuts the cake to be the one that gets to pick the first piece, because then they won't have the idea that they need to cut them fairly because they may get the last piece. That's really what you have to do to make a society function. Thanks.
Thank you, caller.
He had some valid points, but the fact that not always cheating is always bad. Like, everybody knows how to spell by the time they're, like, in at least fourth grade. So you don't really need to cheat with that, just saying.
Caller, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I remember an English teacher I used to have in high school. She used to quote all the time, "To thy own self be true." And we used to, you know, joke behind her back and make fun of her and all this kind of stuff. And anyway, as I've gone on in life, you know, I thought about that. Really, the only person besides, you know, your higher power or whoever else that you answer to is yourself. And so I've got a question for you guys. How do you feel, or how would you feel, about yourself after you cheat?
Probably really bad.
Yeah, personally, I don't like cheating because then I feel like I shortcut myself.
You don't get anything out of cheating. You're just finding a shortcut for it, and you're not going to retain any information, which is why you're doing school.
Yeah, I think that people probably, like, if you're used to cheating and that's how you usually get your grades, they probably just get used to it and find it, like, not, they don't even feel bad about it anymore. It's just their way of getting a good grade on everything.
Well, thank you very much for calling. She had a pretty good point, too.
She did have a pretty good point.
Again, the number is 456-9991. We'd really like to hear from you.
Caller, you're on the air.
I have a question. Do really all of the students in high schools have smartphones or something like that that they could be using? I mean, it seems if 100% of the students have access to that, then there's some interesting questions that can be raised in terms of how the use of them could be, you know, of educational benefit. But if one student in the class doesn't have access to something like that, then it really, to me, calls into question whether anybody should be allowed to use them.
Yeah, no, I have no phone at all.
I'll let you answer that on the air. Thanks.
Thank you.
Well, generally, most people do have, a cell phone, but if they don't, it shouldn't get a shortchange somebody else for having one. That's not fair. Like, I mean, everybody should be treated equally, but if you have the ability to have something, you shouldn't be shortchanged because somebody else doesn't, especially if you worked for it.
Yeah, I don't have a phone, but I find that I do pretty well without one.
I just don't think that phones should even be allowed to use, like, you should be able to use your phone, but just not for getting information because you're not learning the stuff.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I have to say I thank you guys for this show. Is the echo too bad?
No.
Nope.
It's fine.
Let me turn this down. Hang on.
Okie doke.
Sorry, I thought I had it covered. Is that better?
Much.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. What I wanted to ask or make the point of is that, in my view, cheating destroys trust. And it destroys trust especially for yourself. Because without trust, we can't have a civil society. It just can't exist. And I think that what happens when cheating starts is, if it's small, it's not a big deal because, you know, it's just something small. Cheating itself is your own sense of what's right and wrong. And I will say that I personally never cheated. It was not something that even crossed my mind. But I'm in my 50s, and perhaps I'm of a different generation. And to the caller that was just talking about technology, I will say that calculators, at the time I was going to school, it was like, shouldn't kids be able to use calculators in math? But the kids that were able to use calculators weren't able to estimate anything. They didn't know whether the calculator was giving them an answer that was appropriate or not. So I think a lot of things take away from our own abilities when we don't trust the fact that we need to learn things to be able to build on the building blocks of our predecessors. And I thank you guys all for being there.
Thank you, Paula.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Kind of an interesting point is, she was saying that calculators weren't allowed. Nowadays, they supply them. Well, should they be able, should they, like, supply smartphones or anything? Or, like, what, isn't that, like, the same sort of idea? Shouldn't they, like, supply just, like, something where you can hold your information on? Not necessarily, like, a smartphone or anything, but, like, something that you could just keep all your information on, like, Palm Pilot or something like that.
Something you could just type some of your notes on, I understand. You know, a point that she brought up, though, too, was about, you know, using calculators and, you know, how some kids use them. You know, there's going to be some kids who have natural ability to do, you know, math problems or something like that. So, you know, using calculators could probably help them and kind of equalize it a little bit. Because, you know, even if that person were to say work is hard, you know, maybe they couldn't actually, you know, compute things in their head because they just don't have that natural ability to do so. And in fact, you know, using the calculator makes it, you know, so it's a little bit more fair for them, as well as the, you know, the smarter kids who actually can do that sort of thing on their own.
Yeah.
Some kids can't retain as easily as others can. So, like he's saying, it's a lot easier sometimes to be able to use what's given to you at the time than just trying to get it. Like, if you can't really retain some things, it's not your fault.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hi. I was wondering if I could make a little correction to something I said before. Just quickly.
Yeah.
I wanted to make the point that kids need to learn to rely on themselves. So, you know, if you don't know the material, then be courageous enough to show that you don't know the material. If you know the material, then know it. But, you know, learn to rely on your own knowledge and abilities and skills, not depend upon your neighbor to the left or to the right. You know, okay. Did I make myself clear?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you.
No problem.
I think that's interesting, though, too, because, you know, what if, you know, relying on yourself, I can understand that. But say, you know, what if relying on yourself, say it's not good enough, or it's not, you know, what's necessary to, you know, to get what you need to get, or to do what you need to do? What if it's not, you know, what you need? What if it's something else more that you don't have?
Yeah, like sometimes if you are still relying on yourself, but you don't have the ability to get where you need to be in, like, as self-entitlement, then sometimes you do need other things to help you out. That's what things have been created for. That's what technology has been done to make our lives easier. Like, that's basically saying, if you didn't have your TV, you couldn't watch what you wanted, you don't have your microwave, things don't get cooked as fast, we'd still be in the Stone Age if we didn't make moves to become where we are and make things easier.
Yeah, exactly. If we didn't, like, improve on the ideas we had.
Yeah, plus, like, things with, like, using things to make yourself better, it's easier, because that's saying anything. Like, you couldn't, like, if we didn't have guns, war would not, like, happen as easy. It'd be more brutal without certain things that we have.
Okay, Doc. Well, that's all for this month's edition of Youth Speaks Out. Our hosts have been me, Royal.
Kane Hulsey.
Mitzi Pearson. Natalie Grossman.
Dan Interrell.
And Eric Roberts.
thanks to our callers. One of the purposes of this show is to involve the community in dialogue, so your call-ins are important to us. We're happy to have been able to broadcast from Willett Studio. Youth Speaks Out is now produced in cooperation with the Safe Schools for Healthy Students, Bronco Project, building resiliency opportunities for the North County. For more information about the Bronco program, please call Pat Sanborn at 459-5314 or email at psanborn@mcoe.us. Youth Speaks Out is produced and directed by Dan Roberts, who may be reached by mail at P.O. Box 1162, Willits, California, 95490, or through the website www.youthspeaksout.net. There you can find more information about the project, get addresses for contacting us, get a copy of the show, and listen to many hours of previously recorded programs in streaming audio. The views expressed in this program are not necessarily those of KZYX. They are the views of those who express them. For the past 6 years, Youth Speaks Out has aired on the last Sunday of each month from 2 to 3 p.m. Due to major scheduling changes taking place September 20th, the KZYX Youth Speaks Out will now be incorporated into Dan Roberts' music show, Rhythm Running River, from 3 to 4 p.m. on the first Sunday of each month. Therefore, there will not be a Youth Speaks Out in September. Our next show will be on the first Sunday of October, the 3rd, at 3 p.m. Thanks for listening, and we will see you in October.